know how they accept my signature at the bank anymore.
I guess you don't have to be able to read a signature, it just needs to look similar each time.
Too similar, yeah. Yeah, that guy's going up north.
Tried.
You to Barrow?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you're going to Barrow next week. I'll be up there for a few weeks. As I said, maybe visit Wainwright, but I'm not sure yet.
You do interviews too, I suppose, up there. Interview people.
Yeah, well, whaling captains. I'm still new to this, so.
Oh.
I'm not used to interviewing, so I'm not necessarily that good at it. But I'm learning.
Yeah.
But it's a really useful way to understand a certain place. Everywhere is different, and that's one of the things that we're interested in, is how places like Wales are different from other places in terms of sea ice, and also how the people use and understand sea ice.
Some of my observation about the ice thinning out is also flying, I guess, between Gambo and here. It was quite evident last year.
Yeah.
Like Clyde was saying, I guess so. But, you know, when the ice piled up, we were flying really low with our discipline. No heavy ice out there, you know. No. And this is, you know, like in the middle of winter. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming back from out there. Well, not middle of winter, kind of like early spring. And no big icebergs out there, none at all. Where we used to see a lot of big icebergs out there, floating around, or you know, just from being out there throughout the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be like that high ice out there,
yeah,
where the boats are parked. Pressure just like that would be evident. This time it was, I would say, 3 feet at the most, all the way down.
Right now?
I mean, last year.
Last year.
When I had the chance, when I was flying back, and had a chance to.
Oh, from Shish?
From a Savunga Gamble.
Savunga.
You know, kind of like cut across. Coming from there. Well, I went both ways, both directions, from here to Gambo.
Yeah.
And then from Gambo, here straight flight. But flying very low and noticing the ice that piled up. They're pretty much all the same, you know, thickness. That just kind of got my brain thinking and it was that how thin the ice is now, you know?
Yeah. So, I'll just start with I wanted to ask you a few questions about just how the ice conditions this year and in recent years has impacted or affects the spring whaling, the bowhead hunting, or the bluegill hunting.
This year?
This year, yeah.
Yeah. That one time, when was about 3 weeks ago, last month, starting from like mid-April to end of the month, I guess, or getting close to last week of the month. There was a lot of south winds that came, mm-hmm. and it continued for about a week and a half. And I'm not too sure how many people, flying captains you interviewed around here. And
well, I spoke with you and went on this trip.
And my time frame is a little different than theirs as far as those type of things occurring. Like for instance, the south wind, week and a half maybe 2 weeks, maybe at the most, continuously. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of ice going by from that long wind, south wind blow. Comparing that to when there's people more worried about the ice declining. We see movement of ice like 3 to 4 weeks at a time, but this one ran out quickly. Yeah. And that's why we have this condition right now, lots of open water. See, the ice went by about a week. We can have to go by quite a bit of ice off plug for that extent of time. But in that time frame, it only took maybe at most 2 weeks to run out. And that is the cause of this open water right now, comparing to like 30 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago. When we have a long south wind, lots of ice go by, but that occurrence was longer back then, say 3 or 4 weeks at a time, we'd be plugged in.
Yeah.
And probably still be going by right now as we speak, you know. The heavy ice, if we call, flow ice. But right now, as you can tell, it's all gone. There's no heavy ice out there. Just might be what I was reading from the airplane the other day was like toward King Island, you know, like 3 or 4 square miles. That's it out there going, trying to go by right now. But I think you need way more than that. Like, what it used to happen a long time ago.
You need more than that.
I mean, it used to be more than that. That would be going by, but it looked like, I would say that, well, yeah, 3 to 4 square miles of ice, and that was what 3 days ago, huh? That's floating out there, that's trying to go by, but.
Is it the winds or the currents that pushes the ice?
Current. And they do get stronger in May. Right now, that was what all this ice you see right now that's close by is coming off the shore ice, breaking off.
Breaking off.
Yeah.
Okay, so all this ice out here that we see just beyond is actually
broken off from the edge. Yep. Yeah. It's not like from down south further, moment beyond.
But is this shore ice that's out here now? Is this similar to how it's been in the past?
No, as far as thickness, well, the what do you call it? The ice edge is pretty much the same area. Mm-hmm. That hasn't seemed like never changed so far, but just the thickness has changed quite dramatically, I guess. In the 70s, when Mr. Christensen harvested the whale, and beyond that, you know, while I was growing up, ice used to be 5 feet, 5 or so feet thick, because once in a while I'd follow my grandma go out, grandparents, or go out ice fishing in the winter time. It'd be January, February, you know, when they used to do ice spear fishing. That's the time when that kind of fishing occurred.
Yeah.
Back then, but the ice used to be huge, because you used to see people when they cut their holes out, you know, it's like 5 feet, 4 feet, above 4 feet at least.
Yeah.
Unless those were like layered ice, you know, ice come around and got layered.
Yeah. But,
I don't think that was the case, because in the 70s, or after the 70s, when maybe Raymond's dad and get a well, we'd be chopping the edge to try to make a ramp to pull up the well. Even back then, we noticed that the ice was a lot thicker.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's 4 feet and it's late in the year, so in January it would have been much thinner.
What I would assume was 23 inches last year or something like that.
Last year I remember when we were here.
What I have to try to understand is that at the ice edge versus in between, there's different thickness, I do believe. Because, at the ice edge there tends to pile up underneath from maybe south winds or winds that bring the ice in. Mother Nature from stop raising it.
Yeah.
Once there's a bunch of ice, it'll, pile it up. And maybe that's sometimes you get a misunderstanding about that is when ice on the edge starts piling up, it's layer up, and you might see a different or misunderstand that. That part because of the ice layering like that.
Yeah, that is a problem when we're trying to measure how thick the ice is.
You get closer to the edge and the ice may be thicker. And you think maybe that's how it froze, but...
Yeah, it got blown in.
Yeah.
Pushed under.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed out here where you have your boat launched, there's that row of ridges where the boats are placed, mm-hmm. and then there's that extension.
Oh, yeah, the first year edge.
Mm-hmm. When does that extension form?
We had that real cold spell, when was it, in February? Both January and February were pretty cold. And that's when it formed, end of January, February. Mid of February.
Yeah, and is that quite common to have one extension off this first row of main ridges?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at times it could be further out. Mm-hmm. But what I also observed flying this past few days, going to the Inclus Chactutic, between here and Nome, there are places where there is a lot of extension. And that may be because of that south wind bringing the ice in and just anchoring it there. And when the north winds come, it just didn't blow out yet.
Yeah.
That might have been the case. But way out there, that's what I kind of thought happened. Because out there by Fort Clarence, for instance, you can notice the... No. Edge like this. You can notice that, and then beyond that, there's great long ways of extension ice too. And that's what I thought happened was that the south wind came in and blowed in, and then just left it there when the north winds came.
Yeah.
There's lots of open water down that way too. Lots of open water.
When you're out...
That was after the ice finished out, going by from the south winds.
Mm-hmm.
It just stayed behind.
Yeah.
And lots of open water down that way, too.
When you're out on that extension ice, mm-hmm. what do you look for to make sure that it's safe to be out on that?
We look to see if it's secured right, anchored right to the main ice or the first year's edge attached somehow, and the thickness. And sometimes there will be pressure ridges will be built out there on the extension ice. Most time, hardly any nowadays. fascinated when the Falcons came.
So, but here, if you were out on the extension ice and there is a northeast wind, would that be something to be concerned about?
It would be, because it's offshore wind. And like, we have to watch, I mean, look out for cracks. And either, a lot of times there'll be ice going like that, you know, just from the current and that. Just like a big jigsaw puzzle, maybe there's interlocking places out there where it's hanging on to, from the excess ice, hanging on to the main ice. I always call that main ice the first year edge. Anywhere, you know, like for instance, right now, what you just explained, where our boats are.
Yeah.
From here to the boats is like the main ice, and that's the first year edge.
And then everything else is just
the extension. Yeah. There's probably interlocking place areas where that extension is locked into the main ice and can't go anywhere, but at times they'll be moving if you notice and observe very carefully.
Well, I noticed two days
there's
ago.
There's a lot of cracks out there.
I can see a crack, I can see an extension that's just kind of lifting.
Yeah, yeah.
I can hear it.
Exactly. It's still floating. Maybe, whereas the main ice is anchored at maybe different points.
So, when you go beyond the shore ice in a boat for belugas or for walrus, what type of ice conditions or ice wind currents are make it safe to travel out there in a boat? Or what conditions are dangerous when you're out on a boat beyond the shore ice?
I never quite catch your
question. Is it like if you were to take your boat from the shore ice out boating amongst the floes, what conditions make it safe? I mean, is there a certain wind direction that it's safe for?
Oh, like for instance here, northeast is basically what. We were about wind direction. We were, like northwest is not a right direction to be out there. South winds, currents in April are less than currents in May. Like my dad used to always tell me this, cause as I was growing up, he make me aware of the dangers of the currents and the wind. East wind is very dangerous around there because of the unpredictable high winds, or it's coming off the land, in other words. From the mountains.
So it's like predictable when it's coming off the land.
Yeah, it could either pick up real quick and fast, because there's quite a few stories about hunters getting caught out there in the east wind. In our language, it's Nunezuk. It means it's coming off the land, and so very strong.
Do you know how to spell that?
Nunezuk.
Yeah.
You got that spoke.
Okay.
Just ask him what east wind. Nunezuk, yeah. Nunezuk. Yeah, it's off the land. Nuna means land.
Nuna. Oh, okay.
So it's just
Nuna.
Nuna is Numa, I think. Nuna or N-A. Nuna. And then we just add that Nunezuk, that Zuk part.
Oh, okay.
For east wind. Because it's, yeah, it means land. Wind from the land, east wind. It's no good. I got caught myself out there in that type of wind. And then the current gets pretty strong from that direction. Besides the south wind, you know. South wind.
Hello.
Hi, little bee. And northeast wind off more of a different direction. It's what we favor. Right below the mountain gets very calm. And that current sort of dies down. And then once we get away from this Cape Mountain, usually on northeast winds we head north because the wind is from, or it may be from nice up there, from this northeast direction. I mean, there's such a big difference sometimes.
Yeah.
On that direction of wind. But like I said, you know, May, and I noticed that this day there's quite a bit of current up there. Ice was going by pretty fast.
I heard Winton and Gene and even Ryan, he took, I think last year when I spoke with him, talked about that there's a number of different currents out there between here and the Russian side.
Yeah, the ones that I had the experience was the main current. I guess two main currents, the Wells current and Diamond current. And then there's probably smaller currents in between. But those two I experienced very well because I felt them as we were traveling. And with a small motor and a small boat and being kind of experiencing that type of thing. Because I grew up boating. My parents, my dad sent me out to Diamond when I was only 11 years old. 9 years old, something like that. But even back then, because the outboard motors were kind of small, and the pigskin boats, so you're going along quite slow at times.
So you
could feel the current hit you.
You took the skin boats to Diamond?
Yeah, way back then.
Wow. That's with
There's three skin boats, and they all were equipped with like 30 horse, 25 horse maybe, you know, big long 28 foot boat. They make big skin boats back then too.
This is in the 70s?
Oh, beyond 70s, 60s.
Okay,
I was like only 9, 11 years old, and it was in like all these was in June, and you took off, there was still ice here. Mid-June, because on my birthday, it's June 9th, when I was growing up, there would still be ice. It would start going away, and you still have short ice.
Yeah.
I remember hopping on that boat in June.
So
we had to walk out on the ice, and there was still short, pretty rotten, but there was still short ice. Yeah, to go diving. Three skin boats that time, and I would think that at that time the ice was like 5-6 feet. Main ice. Just by observing the fishing holes that they made in January, February. The reason I say that and it's kept in my head is just because of my birthday, June 9, and then observing the ice that it's still around, you know, compared to now. Now it's going all away in end of May. When was that? One time, May 28th, all the way off last year, I think.
Yeah, I was here, I think I left, I was here May 20th to May 26th. And as we were leaving, it was starting to really break apart. We could see.
About 7-8 years ago, 6-8 years ago, that happened too. And my boat almost got taken away with ice. We had to jump on little ice cakes on the main ice, you know. Mm-hmm. The existing ice had already gone, and it started working on the main ice, and it started breaking up. So we had to get to hop on ice cakes to get to the boat. Maybe 3-4 foot crack we had to jump one time. I mean, we had to put a makeshift board, 2x6, I guess, or 8. We jumped down just for that purpose. Because somebody had come up and said, there's lots of cracks in between your boat and the try. So I drug a board down on some machines to get to my boat. My boat was, it lucked out. The ice just cracked around the boat. So the boat was still on top of the ice. In other words, it never, ice never break up, right? In between the boat or right in the middle of the boat where it would have slid in, you know? And I think that ice was no more than 3 feet. That occurred. Because it really, really quick bust up and start floating away. And there was northeast wind that time too. Kind of blew out quite quick. We were working on those four homes on this side, we were across the bridge. The new homes, yeah.
Yeah.
We were working on those ones and had to rush out there, rescue the boat. I don't know what the foreman think, but I guess he knew what we were doing. There was an emergency.
Yeah, well, you found a good use for the 2x8.
Yeah. Yeah. We just, I think we left them out there too. Because we couldn't.
Well, what about the ridges that you see being built out there nowadays?
Oh, they're like getting less and not as high as they used to be. The ice is more flat, and not much pressure ridges anymore. You'd see at least, and this could be from the south wind coming in for many days and then just piling up out there on the main ice. You'd see at least 4, 3, 4, 5 high pressure ridges. Not right now, you don't see very much. Just that one by the boat, maybe.
Yeah.
And basically that, and then maybe 2-3 smaller ones. Yeah.
So
then they'd be like below the mountain over here, this side, and then where our boat is now, stretching between those, that area, there'd be 4 or 5 big pressure ridges.
How long would it take those to form? Do they form overnight? I mean, just in a day?
Well, probably like sometimes in a day, but you know, not that humongous. There, maybe it takes about 3 or 4 days, 5 days, depending on the wind and the current, I guess.
And nowadays, like these ridges out here, one by the boat.
Right, that one. I don't know when that occurred. Maybe I was gone, but like the south winds we had in April. I was surprised that none of that type of thing happened. It just stayed flat like it is right now. When the north wind finally came in. And you can tell, because the contrast, when you have open water and the ice edge, you can tell pretty easily the outline of the ice, shore ice out there.
Yeah.
Just by looking at it from the village here. Yep, not any more of those type of pressure. When we started, in 1987, there are some occurrences in 1987 when I started my whaling crew that the ice froze all the way to rest of sight, and that's why the whales were blocked in, and couldn't migrate because of no breathing holes. I always remember that too, 87. and also in 91 and 94, I guess that type of thing happened. But more so in 87.
It was really freezing up across the Russian, those years.
Oh, maybe to the island.
To Danube.
Yeah, to big little Danube. It was visible from the mountain. It was visible from the migrating whales. And in 87, we can actually tell how thick the ice was. I think it was 5 inches or 6 inches, or less, maybe less than that.
Mm-hmm.
Really flat, long waves.
So it's just frozen place out here.
Yeah, frozen place out there. Very big pan of ice. Mm-hmm. Flatter than heck. I mean, you can land with planes day in, day out. And the reason why I'm saying it was stuck is because you can see the current going underneath and little chunks of ice going underneath that 5 inch thick ice out there. The whales couldn't break the ice to make breathing holes. And I think that's what they do once in a while, to migrate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of whales going north on me, trying to go north. But then there was a lot of whales returning. And that's how we kind of knew that it was iced in, they're iced in.
Yeah. But did that make whaling easier?
It did make whaling easy that time. And maybe those occurred at those years because maybe those were colder years, you know. It had to be.
Yeah.
I also experienced another ice blocking where whales couldn't migrate. And this occurred in late 70s, maybe 78. There's a airline that spotted the belugas a little more than halfway to Shishmar, fourth inlet, something like that. Ipik, they call it. That's where we had to go anyway. Anyway, this pilot had spotted belugas stranded out there, also where they were also blocked in, and the Shishmar people were really harvesting beluga. So they only had a little tiny breathing hole, a couple of them take turns to breathe. And somehow this pilot spotted it, so several groups of whales, which I was on, one of the groups, three of us that went up. We had to go to this place called Ikpik. It's more on the Shishmar side. More than halfway to here in Shishmar, and got to that point, and we headed out, going like more than half throttle, going pretty good speed for 4 to 5 minutes out, and then ran into these breeding holes for belugas. So at that time, also the ice had what's it called, froze all the way to.
Wow. So it was flat the whole way?
Ridges out there? No ridges. Just like this between going from here to the ice edge right now.
And did that happen in April?
When was that happen that time, Mom? I know it was in the spring. Maybe. Yeah, April, I think.
And then when that finally broke out, was it the winds or the currents? Or?
The winds, I guess. Yeah, it was an amazing trip for me, anyway. I was still young and full of energy, I guess.
I wonder if that can be seen in the old satellite images.
Probably. Yeah, and I can't remember the date. 78, maybe 77, 76. I know I just came back from pipelines that time because I had a brand new snow machine. Even rude snow machine that time. They don't make them anymore now, of course. It was an even rude brand. And I believe that was about the right time, 76, 77.
Yeah, I've heard people say that it used to be that
freeze up all the way to the island. I don't know about beyond there, maybe beyond there also. Because it seemed like the whales could navigate them and then find breeding holes, you know, with their sonar or whatever they have.
Yeah.
Well, how would they locate open water? You'd think they would find that breathing holes between here and Diney if there was, you know, a path or something.
But the
flow ice out there was like coming from the south, you know, just like really packed in against our shore ice and coming from lots of south wind too that time. That might have created the block too, something. But I don't recall. I don't remember. When the south wind occurred and why it occurred, why the ice got blocked. I do remember the incidents very clearly. The reason why I know in 87 was because that's when I started my whaling crew. We lost a darling gun, a whale, took it under. Couldn't find it and took it under that ice, that real flat ice that was on. That had blocked the whales.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, hey. Miss, we get a ride to the airport in 15 minutes.
In 15 minutes?
Yeah, so at 5 past.
Oh, okay. So it's coming early.
Yeah, and we're gonna go to Tella on the way to home.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, Chris.
How's it going?
All right.
I need to pack.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.